First, tonight, the government is facing renewed pressure from the opposition to force energy companies to cut their prices for households. New figures show how the number of people getting pulled into energy poverty is continuing to rise. It's also emerged this week that wholesale electricity prices are still falling, but customers, they're yet to see a reduction in their bills. And Louise Byrne of the Irish Mirror, new figures today at an Oireachtas committee, first of all, from St. Vincent de Paul about people not being able to afford their bills.
Yeah, and this was a discussion about energy poverty at the Oireachtas committee, and St. Vincent de Paul at that committee told TDs and senators that they experienced a 40% increase in the number of people looking for energy bill help from them last year. So that we obviously know that prices increased drastically last year, but not only that, that's risen by a further 50% in the first quarter of 2023 alone. So I think there's been kind of this idea or this thought that perhaps bills have fallen, but they don't seem to have. And now there's real concern from St. Vincent de Paul that people are going to be heading into next winter with mountains of arrears, and that they're going to just be faced with racks and racks and racks of arrears, and they're not going to be able to clear them. We know that at the end of March, there were just shy of 160,000 people in arrears on their gas and just shy of 200,000 people in arrears on their electricity. So there is fear that that is going to increase if there's not enough government support and subvention there.
And Social Justice Ireland, they were also raising concerns today, weren't they?
They were. And it came back to the amount of people that are in arrears. And I think there was a real push from both Social Justice Ireland and from St. Vincent de Paul to help the kind of the most vulnerable people, those on the prepaid meters, those who can't afford to eat and can't afford to heat their homes and look after their children. And there was this real push, and there was calls for groups like the CRU to monitor prices, because like you said, wholesale prices have come down, but we're not seeing that passed on to customers and to consumers on their bills. And there was also calls from I think it was SVP that there should be a special discounted tariff for people on social welfare. So all these kind of ideas that they're saying need to be put into place, or people are really going to continue to struggle.
And there was a real political pinch point around this issue 2 weeks ago at the Dáil, and it returned to the floor of the chamber again this afternoon during leaders' questions.
Yeah, and this was, again, it was mentioned by Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin have really been pushing this, and this case study of this woman who had to dip into her savings that she had put aside for her husband's headstone, and she had to dip into that to pay her energy bills. That was mentioned by Sorc Clark last week, and it was mentioned again by Marilyn McDonald today. And Sinn Féin are calling for action, but kind of the government line on it seems to be that we're waiting for the budget. There's kind of this, we're here again and again that the windfall tax is coming, but we're not really getting any answers on when we're going to be getting that money. And it seems very much to be, we'll deal with it when the budget comes, which I don't think is going to satisfy a lot of people.
The government waiting for the budget, the commission, the CRU saying that bills will fall by the end of the year. Are those two reassurances not good enough for you, Thomas Gould of Sinn Féin?
Well, if you were that lady who couldn't put a headstone on her husband's grave, would it be good enough for anyone? It's human stories, no. And the government can talk about we'll wait for the budget and we'll bring in this windfall tax. We looked for this windfall tax a year ago, and not alone us, most of the opposition have been calling for this. Like, people are suffering now. And this is what I was saying in the Dáil tonight. People need help now. They don't need help in October. They'll probably need help in October, but they need help right now. And what we're facing into is summer. And I've been talking to people. Like, there was an incident during the week where someone put up a pair of runners on social media. They were too big for her child, and she was inundated with requests on Facebook. Like, the suffering that people are having at the moment now, trying to make ends meet, trying to pay their bills. And also, you also have the middle classes, because what's happening now at the moment is people on low and middle income, they might be able to just about pay their bills, but because there hasn't been a cap on rent increases, they're paying extra rents. Because there hasn't been relief in relation to mortgage interest relief, they're suffering. And the last point is, anyone with children, if you're looking at a summer now, trying to put your child into a summer camp, trying to get them clothes for the summer, trying to get them to do things, like, there's a human story to all of these.
The government argues it has brought forward supports, you say, something needed before October's budget. Pather Tobin, what would you do different?
Well, I just think it's incredible that the government have done nothing. So they have had a laissez-faire attitude in relation to this. Well,
they're always in here arguing all those different supports they have put in place.
If you look, you know, there is a currently the government is harvesting more VAT on fuels than ever before. So VAT on electricity increased 40% last year to 380 million.
Lowest rate, of course. It's the lowest rate on energy, 9%.
But the point is,
we reduce the VAT rate?
You're taking more than ever.
Did we reduce the VAT rate?
Like,
in absolute terms, possibly, did we reduce the VAT rate to 9%?
Okay,
lowest ever VAT rate.
Okay, but just hear me out.
Hi there, Toby.
But hear me out. You're still taking more out of people's pockets in
lowest
terms.
Lowest VAT rate.
So in the middle of the worst cost of living crisis in the history of the state, in terms of people not being able to pay for electricity, the government is actually quids in. And in terms of the ESB doubled their profitability last year to over 650 million euros, which is practically the same as winning the lottery every single day for that electricity company. And they've been allowed to do so by the government. And at the same time, we have hundreds of thousands of people who are the collateral damage of the government inaction in terms of this. And, you know, it's just really what we would do in this terms, we would actually reduce the VAT further on electricity to make it easier for people to consume electricity.
And Marco Cossig, the argument Pather Tobin making is that the coalition's energy tax take was 3.7 billion euro last year, which was three times the amount spent on the energy credits of 200 euro since last November. And the Consumer Association, they've also been critical of this fact, saying that effectively the government should be putting more towards credits due to that tax take that Pather Tobin has mentioned there.
Well, Pather talks about further reducing the VAT rates, that wouldn't be possible within the European context. Reducing from 13.5% to 9% was only possible because of the derogation that the government secured. So we keep hearing these kind of things thrown out. Pather wouldn't be able to do that in government because he wouldn't be able to unilaterally reduce the VAT rates. But on the issue of things that
other
government
countries have
done,
unilaterally reduced VAT rates, for example, on the cost of fuel, and like Spain and Portugal.
That's on fuel, it's not energy costs.
But that did reduce it, but we were told by our government that we were not being able to do that.
What of the point of the Consumer Association, Marco Cossig? They're saying that due to that tax take, the government could give another energy credit of at least 500 euro each to each of the hard-pressed consumers to have taken this tax off. That's what they're saying.
So that is an option that's open to go into further energy credits. And that is certainly something that's been considered by government. But bear in mind, the energy credits were only one in a suite of measures. And we have to realise that the energy credits, they are a broad instrument. And they're very useful in reaching a whole bunch of people that wouldn't otherwise be reached. For example, we've broadened the criteria in terms of fuel allowance. But that still won't reach every one of those hard-pressed families who are finding it difficult to make ends meet. Similarly, the 9% across the board reduction in energy costs, the extension of excise duty reductions on people's motoring costs, these are all part of a suite of measures that this government has. This is not even getting into the... They're not getting into the retrospective.
People are... Like, Mark is listing off stuff, you know.
I am, because those are the concrete measures that we've undertaken in government.
These are the facts, no, Mark, right? People are struggling. People need help.
But that's a subjective statement.
No, can I say this?
You asked for facts, I gave actual facts.
Yes.
I have people coming into my clinic.
Well, can I say now, shame on the Green Party then for backing up Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because any hope that people had of ye keeping them to account, ye've left a rough shot over on the people. And can I say this now? At the end of the day, people are struggling. That's a fact. The Vincent de Paul are saying, the social justice are saying, Bernardo's are saying, this isn't Sinn Féin, this isn't the opposition. These are the people on the ground dealing with the human stories. And the thing about it here is, there's a windfall tax. This was a
which
strategic...
Which has been drafted.
Can I say this now? We would have brought it in a year ago. Other countries done it, right? But the choice was here. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael protected big business, big multinationals, and left ordinary people to suffer. Okay, so and they're still suffering now.
Pather Tobin, how would you get the electric companies to bring down their costs?
Well, first of all, they can direct the likes of Electric Ireland in relation to this, or you can use the big stick of a windfall tax. And Mark said, you know, that it takes time to do this, but Italy did it. They took in 4 billion last year in terms of this. The Tory government have brought in a windfall tax.
Electric Ireland saying this week that it has not increased its residential prices since October and made no profits in its residential electricity business for 2022. That's what they're saying.
But the point is, these electricity companies and these energy companies are making massive profits at the moment. So those profits are available for the state to make sure that it eases the pressure on people. Right now, incomes have fallen in the last year. And this is a key point here. Electricity prices per unit in Ireland are the highest in Europe. Now, that has to be a reflection on the way that we're managing the electricity market here compared to other countries.
I think the thing with the windfall tax is, I remember sitting in the Department of Finance on budget night last year, so the 27th of September, and we were talking about the windfall tax and how the take from the windfall tax would be used to put in extra measures throughout the year. We're now in nearly June, and the windfall tax we're now hearing might not be till September, October, November, yeah. December. And we're coming up to a real pinch point now, and the government is going to continue to get it in the neck because we've run out of electricity credits. So no, people aren't going to be getting €200 off these astronomical bills from the next billing cycle. The excise duty cut on the petrol, the first restoration of that is from the 1st of June. So the government is going to find itself in real trouble over the next couple of weeks, and saying it's going to be October when we've 26 million billion actually of a surplus is not really going to cut it.
Marco Cossig, you had mentioned the suite of measures that the government is considering. Would you be open for further supports before October's budget? Is that what you're suggesting?
If the situation merits it, absolutely.
So does it merit it at the moment?
I think it should be. I think it should be seriously considered, because we do know that the hedging that happens within energy markets means that what we're seeing in terms of the spot price reductions, and I don't want to lose people in jargon, but we are seeing wholesale prices drop, but we know that how the energy companies hedge their spending over time means we're not seeing it feed through to people's energy bills as quickly.
Dr.
Edgar Morganroth of DCU, he says he'd expect retail electricity prices to fall as some or perhaps most of the future contracts that were bought last year must now largely be finished, but still people are being told they must wait until the end of the year for bills to fall. That doesn't seem right.
I don't think it'll take to the end of the calendar year. On the forecourts, it takes about 2 weeks to see oil prices feed through to the petrol pumps. In terms of energy costs, it takes about 6 months in general.
It doesn't take long to see them go up,
no,
though.
And they're sticky on the way down.
That's untrue, Louise, actually. The spot price is inflated by 400%. That 400% wasn't passed through to
we're talking about the comparison between the Irish price of electricity compared to European prices. And in terms of gas, again, you know, the government left us extremely exposed to the fact that we're the only country without a gas reserve, without a gas store. Every other country has actually been able to deal with gas through their LNG imports, but we haven't been able to store it. That is a major exposure that the government have allowed to exist. And, you know, even on the decoupling of prices between on the basis of gas and other elements, like the government has taken no firm action in relation to that either, yet other countries have done this.
That's inframarginal pricing that happens in the European energy markets, and
CSO
have revealed that since March 2022, wholesale electricity prices have fallen by 57%.
Spot prices,
if I can be finished. But electricity bills for households has soared by 63%. So what Mark is saying here now, the technical jargon is lovely, right? But if you're living in a house now and you're struggling to heat your house and you're struggling to turn on the gas, and what St. Vincent de Paul and others have told us, there are hundreds of thousands of houses right now tonight who are in arrears. Is Mark going to give a commitment that none of them will be cut off and a plan will be put into place to wipe out their arrears? Like, what is the government offering for those hundreds of thousands of families, and a lot of them pensioners? And when I think of Eamon Ryan last year talking about the price of boiling a kettle of water, and pensioners wouldn't turn on their lights and wouldn't boil the kettle until 10 o'clock at night because it was cheap electricity, like, this government have an awful lot to answer
for. But how much would it cost to wipe out all the arrears of people in arrears at the moment, though?
Well, we're only going to have Vincent and Paul in. They don't even have the full figures. We're going to need to get the energy companies in and get the figures in
place.
Does
it not come back then to the Commission for Energy Regulation and calls for them to seek more transparency from the companies in relation to the money they're making?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm more than happy for the CRU to take a more active role. I think they have adequate powers to get involved in the space. I'd like them also getting involved in the issue around smart meters and having that information from my smart meter visible to me in real time. I think there's a host of areas.
Will we see them get the more teeth? Could be.
I think the CRU have enough teeth. It's a question of whether they'll bite or not. I actually think
there's a strategic reluctance on behalf of the Green Party in terms of the prices of energy at the moment. Because, you know, we see with carbon taxes...
No, I see just, where you're going with that. Let me finish the sentence.
So we see carbon taxes being added, even in a cost of living crisis. The Greens put up carbon taxes in the state. High fuel costs reduce consumption. That is an objective of the Green Party. And they have indicated that they want to increase the cost of fuel in the future to reduce consumption as well.
This is a crisis.
Don't waste a good crisis.
It is not Green Party policy to immiserate anybody for the sake of the planet. Absolutely not. In fact, we have a staggering amount of investment going into retrofit of social housing. I know the waiting lists are long. It's an enormous amount of investment going into retrofit, which gives warmer, more comfortable, healthier properties.
Will I give you the figures?
Please do.
172,000 social houses in the state. 36,000 of them are at the right energy rating now. 36,000 more will be done by 2030. 100,000 won't be done until after 2030. And Mark is trying to come in here. I know, because I represent people in social housing, right?
There's
100,000 families who won't be... No, Mark, these are the facts, right? It mightn't suit you, it might hurt the Green Party, but people in social... The lowest people, the lowest incomes are suffering the most because of the carbon tax. And these are not our figures. These statistics are proven out. What we see now... People who can afford to retrofit their houses and claim the grants can do it, and people who are struggling are left in the cold. And that's down to the Green Party.
Just on the Green Party here, Deputy O'Cahasig, we see a spokesperson for Eamon Ryan on May 3rd saying how he had relayed his frustration to the energy companies, particularly over recent months with continued high retail prices, considering that wholesale gas prices are significantly lower and falling. The minister relaying his frustration, and yet it seems no real consequence or no real result to this. What does that say to his role in this?
We have a regulator. There is a regulator in place. I do believe the regulator has the teeth. I'd like the regulator to bare their teeth. But I do also want to repeat it, because Pat is saying these companies are making money hand over fist. You gave us figures refuting that. Similarly, Bord Gáis is not making money. You used the example of Electric Ireland, but you didn't separate out between supply and generation, which are two completely separate things. Of course, where they're making the profit is in their generation because of that inframarginal pricing thing.
So we've discussed a number of tools here. We've discussed decoupling the price of electricity from gas. It is being done in other European countries. We've discussed reducing the VAT on fuel. It is being done in European countries. And we've discussed the windfall tax, which are being done in other European countries. The windfall tax is in the future tense. At the moment, decoupling is in the future tense. And Mark, if you took the future tense out of your language, you wouldn't have anything to say with regards to helping people in crisis at the moment.
I'd have the €600 energy credit, I'd have the expansion of the fuel allowance, I'd have the 9%.
They're gone.
They're not gone.
According to Bernardo's, 1 in 7 families are under pressure or cannot afford dinner some days of the week. And they're also saying that 10% of families are attending food banks. Now, this is Bernardo's. Mm-hmm. This is not Sinn Féin. This is not Ian toward the left wing. These are charities like Bernardo's, Vincent de Paul. So, Mark is on.
We have heard those stats.
What's being done to help those families?
And on a different level of something that was raised at the committee today, and all the speakers at this hearing, they pointed to the extra pressure on those who are tenants in the private rental sector. They can't improve the energy efficiency of their accommodations. So what could be done for them tonight to help them with bills?
Yeah, that's a real difficult... Well, they get the energy credit in the same way, but there is a real difficulty in the rental market in that the incentive isn't there for the landowner to retrofit the property because he or she is not the person paying the bills. I do know that there was a measure introduced in last year's budget where, you know, on top of the SEAI grants... a further 10,000 of a retrofit cost could be written off against your rental income in terms of the tax take. I think we need to be more aggressive. I'm not sure how many landlords know about that measure. I'm not sure if the measure goes far enough. I think I'd prefer something moving towards the Living Cities initiative, where actually you could recoup those costs in terms of taxation on your rental income. But over a longer period, I'd like to see it over 5 or 7 years, so that you ensure that that property stays in the rental market for an extended window of time afterwards. It is definitely one of the more difficult areas to reach in terms of those retrofit targets nationally, because what's the incentive for a landlord?
Pather Tobin.
Yeah, I do think that a tax, like in the whole area of keeping landlords in the market to provide housing, we are a supporter of tax breaks for small to medium-sized landlords. And, you know, I do think that there is a social and an environmental benefit to the government to increase the attractiveness of those tax breaks in terms of providing retrofit. This is the low-hanging fruit. You know, this is the easy stuff that doesn't actually cause pain in terms of people. And it should be a step that's taken immediately.
Thomas Gould, what would you do for that cohort?
Well, what we're looking at now is people in rented accommodation who are paying huge rents for substandard accommodation. Like, what we need, I've been contacting Cork City Council recently to get HAP inspections out, inspections of properties, because the conditions some people are living in is shocking. Now, landlords, listen, we need to incentivise them. We need to keep them in renting out their properties, but we also need it livable for people. The standards under Fianna Fáil and Fianna Fáil, and now under this government, of private rented accommodation has just, it's atrocious. You ask anyone, and some of your listeners tonight might text in, they're paying unbelievably high rents for terrible conditions. And to be honest, the government needs to do more. Like what we would say, we need to retrofit houses, both private, both social, and both rental. We need to retrofit all the houses. Like, if we're going to hit our climate targets, if we're going to reduce our carbon footprint, these are things that need to be done.
Mark, how would you respond to that?
There's nothing that I disagree with in that. And I do think, particularly in the rental sector, we certainly need to put carrot there. I am conscious that you do need a little bit of, you need a bit of stick as well. So I would like, if you were offering that kind of incentive to landlords,
and you
which would substantially raise the value of their property, I'd like to see us looking at minimum energy standards in rental accommodation, so that we really see a situation where tenants are benefited from living in those warmer, healthier homes.
And you acknowledged the fuel allowance earlier, that there might be issues around that, that it perhaps it's not getting to everywhere it should. Does the criteria need to be redrawn?
Look, in the longer term, and it was something discussed at the committee earlier today, whether we need to restructure how we support people in terms of their energy costs, moving towards something like a social tariff, for example, rather than a fuel allowance. A fuel allowance is a good instrument in that it gets to the people who need it, but it's a blunt instrument because it doesn't take account of the energy use within a home. Some people have to use more energy because of the energy rating of their home or their family circumstance.
I just can't understand why. Like, we're talking about surpluses now, which is a wonderful thing. A lot of us come from corporation taxes, and for sure you don't want to build in the corporation tax surplus into current spending, because obviously it's if you depend on that, you're in trouble if that disappears. But capital spend is an ideal spot for that. Yet the government is talking about rainy day funds, and here we have a double crisis of energy costs and of climate change. And like, if the government really meant business about this, they would actually be looking at microgeneration of electricity in terms of, you know, really strong supports for retrofitting and for solar panels on homes. But that big project ambition doesn't seem to be there for these two major issues.
But the issue there is, do you have enough builders to do those things? Like, we've seen, you know, we're throwing money at housing and we can't actually put up the houses that we're throwing the money at because we have a lack of labour. So do you have the labour to retrofit? Do you have the labour to do the solar panels? It kind of has to be looked at in the wider context as well.
The Construction Federation, themselves will say that there are many Irish building contractors and workers actually out in Europe at the moment, and a large number of projects, and it would be possible to bring these in if there were long-term contracts and projects to be involved.
Where are they going to live, though?
Yeah, you know, like, that is a question, but in the end of the day, like, you know, we have to make sure that we do build the houses, and, you know, it's a fáinne fia, as they say in Irish, it's a vicious circle. We either build the houses to make sure that we have the accommodation for these people to return.
Thomas Gould, what would you do for the fuel allowance?
Just to get back to Pella's point here, they're building office blocks when we need houses. This is crazy stuff.
But the government's now looking at repurposing office blocks, and indeed, to back up Louise's point there, they're saying that there's a shortage of up to 100,000 construction workers needed by 2030.
But why are we building office blocks when we need apartments and housing? Like, to us, we need to put the resources. And it's obvious we do have a shortage of skills and labour, so you put the labour. And some of these companies are probably getting tax breaks. They're probably... they're using this for profit. We have an emergency. We need to move in it.
Well, lots of people getting in touch on this issue. How many of the squeezed middle does the government think can afford the cost of retrofitting their homes? Deck and Stanorgan making that point. Yeah, another person in here, Sean, saying, interesting, Leo's solar on in the Dáil today. It must be Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, of course, announcing a rise in pensions in the next budget. No doubt a giveaway budget on the way, so says Sean. And if the councils had a quick turnaround for doing up vacant properties, it would get people off the waiting list. Penalties should be in force if not done in the time frame. That text in as well. Keep them coming to 51551. You can tweet us as well at Late Debate RTE.